Let me pray in Spanish because I need that. Señor, ayúdame en esta mañana and por favor lléname de tu Espíritu Santo en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. Good. Nice to be here again. And as usual, I have a word, a picture to share with you, something you can take with you and be blessed, something easy to remember, hope so, but with a refreshing impact. And today the phrase is, so the first one please, Oksana, after you. All right? Can you picture yourself there? After you. Apparently the word sheep is mentioned in the Bible more than 500 times. I didn't count them, I just trust my research. And somehow sheep has a kind of close connection with me and my childhood especially. I remember when, I was a teenager, lots of, my mom used to tell me stories about sheep because she used to make them up. We never had books, but she used to make them up. And she used to do like to be continued stories. So the next day I was really ready to go to bed because I wanted the second bit. And then when I was a teenager, I had problem trying to go to sleep. So my mom said to me, you know what you have to do is you have to recite Psalm 23. I knew Psalm 23 by heart. You just recite. Recite Psalm 23, you know, green pastures. Recite and you will go to sleep. Don't worry. And kind of work. And one morning, I think I slept a little bit more than usually. And I went to the kitchen, say, hello, mommy. Oh, she said, oh, what happened to you? Did you have a Psalm 23 overdose last night? So it was kind of a lot of things with sheep. And when I came to England, and when I was doing my English course, in one of our lessons, we had to watch a video. And one student will be watching the video, and the other one will be sitting next to the TV, unable to see the screen, and no sound. So the other one has to try and explain what was going on in the video in whatever English they could. Good exercise. So, and this is the one, the video that, one of the videos that I remember, and it's just for a good laugh. We had a good laugh already, but just, we can laugh a little bit more. Then I will go to more serious bits. So let's watch it. A good laugh. God has described his relationship with us in so many ways, as a king, as a father, as a judge, as a friend, a door, a lover, our Lord, lion, shepherd. All these names and roles capture some dimension of what God's relationship with the world and his creation is. But none of them on their own give a complete picture. And in this passage that we read, it was the Lord says, I am the shepherd and I know my sheep. He looks after them. Well, sheep are very simple animals. Not very clever. They go to unsafe places, getting stuck, eating poisonous things, or getting hurt, or run off and getting lost. They are directionless, prone to wander. And I also, when I was here, when I was preparing for this, I was reading about a group of sheep in Turkey that apparently they were grazing, eating, and then suddenly one of them decided to go wander and went over the cliff and fell off. And the other ones just followed that one and they all fell off. So, and Jesus said that we are his sheep. I would have loved to be compared with a dolphin, for instance. But a sheep, he counts us and he does not get bored. He chose that animal to describe us. Sheep are completely helpless. Now get ready. It's not going to be very uplifting. So number one, we are dependent in our understanding. We are constantly underestimating or overestimating what we are capable of. Constantly making bad choices, wrong decisions. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to Jump Giant. This is this is for kids, really, and, you know, some adults. It's full of trampolines, And I went with some of the moms, Lawrence's moms in the school. And the children were jumping over there, and the moms, we decided to, you know, jump around. And we were happily jumping and jumping. And one of the moms says, I wonder if we could jump from one trampoline to the other one. I said, of course, because I can't keep quiet, isn't it? Of course you can jump. You can jump from the two of them. My daughter, Karen, she does it all the time. She jumps from the other one. Okay, she said, and she jumped, and she ended up graciously, you know, on the other one, on the other trampoline, nicely, no problem. And well done, my turn. So, jump. I ended up in the middle, in between two trampolines. And my right foot went, and I said, oh, that was not a good decision to go there. And the next morning I had Ruth coming to my house and taking me to A&E because I just couldn't move. You know, your present self today, your present self now, you look backwards. Come on, let's look backwards. 10 years? Come on, 20 years? 30 years? Come on, some people can go further. 40 years? Don't be shy. Go further, and you look at your life a few years ago, and you said, wow, that was silly. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? I see some faces. Yeah, I can see that. And I certainly needed some guidance. I was so naive. I didn't understand. When I was 18 years old, I thought, yes, I have arrived. When I was 28, I looked back and I thought, wow, I was very silly when I was 18. The problem is, and now you know what I'm going to say, the problem is, my fellow sheep friends, is that our future self will think exactly the same thing of yourself about today. So bottom line, let's get it right. We are always quite silly and quite naive in the way we manage things. But the funny thing is that we always think that we are getting over it. You know, it's almost the sense, the essence, the root of our sheepness, if you want to, if I can use that word. So it's important to consider that in our understanding, we are utterly dependent. And of course, we don't realize it, which makes it more dependable. Number two, we are dependent in our self-image. You know, I hear... Sorry, you can hear as well.
Oh, no. Now I missed. It's okay? Yeah.
Now, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you think. All what matters is what you think about yourself. Well, I'm going to suggest, I like that phrase I copy from you, because you always use that phrase when you preach. I would like to suggest, yeah, I like that one. It's very neutral. I would like to suggest that this is a little bit of nonsense. So suppose that I paint, you know, and I'm an artist, and I paint, and I do this for 30 years, and nobody ever buys a painting from me. Nobody. The comments that I get are all negative. You know, something is wrong, isn't it? Something is going on. Somebody has to remove the cloud. We cannot bless ourselves. We cannot, no matter how much I said to me when, you know, in the mirror, Priscilla, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. No matter how much I say it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We always need some from outside. So we are sheep. We are dependent on some shepherd. When John and I got married, we had this verse from the Bible, Psalm 34, chapter 34, verse 5. And one bit of the verse says, they looked to him and were radiant. So it is not how we look, but where we look. Yeah? That makes us radiant. It's not how we look, but where we look. In him we are beautiful, in him we are blessed, in him we find meaning. Jesus said, not only, you know, you are my sheep, but I happen to know everything about yourself. You know, the things that nobody knows, I know. I know everything about yourself. I know your silly moves, the ones that you're doing now and the future ones. All your silly moves, I know all of them. Now, the most amazing thing that I have to say today, that even though he knows us, he still loves us. And he loves us so much that he himself became a sheep. He himself became a sheep. So that the sheep can become his people. He says, I'd rather lose my life, my glory, than see these sheep perish. He has given us a name. He has promised us abundant life. And this has nothing to do with having stuff. The abundant life that he has promised about joy, peace, satisfaction, contentment. He calls us by our name and we recognize his voice when we spend time with him. Now, we need a shepherd. Why? Why do we need a shepherd? Let me tell you why. Because he's never wrong. He has never made the wrong decision. He has never taken the wrong path. He never said wrong things or acted the wrong way. He's never too late, too early, too loud, too soft, too slow, too fast. He has always been and always be right. That's why we need to follow him. But perhaps the most interesting thing that I would like to share today is something that has really worked in me. And I have to go back to about the sheep and some characteristics of the sheep. Sheep is one of the things that sheep, they are, sorry, I have to say this word, it's so difficult. Gregarious. Yes. Gregarious. And I mean that sheep go together pretty much, they stay together, and this is not because particularly they like each other. Although they are social animals, but they are there for protection. And this takes me to the passage in Acts that I read a little bit earlier, but you know, this takes me to the passage in Acts with the first Christians and the first church that they share all together. And when I read this one, the first word that comes to my mind is togetherness. Togetherness. Listen, this is not about liking each other. Okay? I read, if you find a perfect church, please don't join them. You will mess it up. There is no perfect church. Another thing about church is that the church is not a club. You know, when my Karen was 3 years old, I said to Karen, darling, today I'm going to take you to a place, it's called Bromley Tennis Center. And you are going to learn how to play tennis. So you leave the nappy here, and this is the racket. Yeah. So it was exchanged, nappy for racket. So racket, ball. And this, for me, that was it. That was it. The tennis was, I come from Argentina, everything about football, not too much about tennis. So, you know, I didn't know anything about tennis. And when I went there, I suddenly discovered that there is like some sort of subculture, tennis subculture. Wow, this thing called mini ratings. And you have the red, the green, the orange, the yellow, all these different steps that the children go. The children go through these different steps, you know, as they progress, they go to different stages. And then you have to learn how to deal with the parents in that place. I said to one, oh, hello, you know, I haven't seen you for a while. Where is your daughter? I said, oh, you know, my daughter, I don't know why, but they pass it, you know, from red to orange. She didn't even went into the green one. And in England, you have to learn how to deal with these sort of answers. And somebody in this church told me how to deal with these things in England. You just have to kind of put your head like that, fold your hands, smile, and you say, lovely. Thank you. I'm not going to say who did it, but very good advice. So, yes, and the children also learn to be, you know, they go to, there's a tennis psychologist. Yeah, they go through all these things. And they learn how to be resilient and all that stuff. This is subculture. It's a club. There's a subculture. But, you know, this subculture does not affect the way I live, my decisions in life, my sense of humor, the way I relate to others. No, because it's a club. But church is a new generation, new society. We are part of a story, an eternal story. We know how God came into this history, creating a new generation. So how come this group of silly sheep became such a force, a radical force in the early church that spread and eventually transformed the entire Roman Empire? How come? Well, I'm pretty sure they didn't say, come on, let's be nice. No. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered. And they did three things. They devoted themselves to the word, the fellowship, and the needy. I'm going to do it again so you. They devoted themselves to the word, the fellowship, and the needy. They gave themselves away. Why? Because they have learned from the shepherd. They learned a new way of being human. What kind of human? What type of church? And now I'm going to read something that can be quite controversial. It really hit me. And I'm going to read it because I want to put some pepper, hot pepper, in this stew. And this is from a book I read last year. Actually, there's a copy of the book over there. And it says, Jesus' teachings constantly attracted the non-religious while offending the religious people of these days. In our churches today, we do not have this effect. The kind of outsiders that Jesus attracted are not attracted to contemporary churches, even our most avant-garde. Hello, Arthur. We tend to draw conservative, moralistic people, the licentious and liberated, or the broken or marginal, avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practice of our parishioners do not have the same effect on people that Jesus had, then are we declaring the same message that Jesus did? It hurt me. It really hurt me. It challenged me. I will suggest my opinion. I think in churches we suffer from some kind of autopilot. And we keep trying to bring people to church. But we are missing some point. The mission is to get outside the church and mix in with all sorts of people. And as my friend Karen says, signposting them to Jesus. Church is then a place where we all meet. Less passion, okay. Okay. Lovely. Okay. Church is then a place we all meet, get fed, recharge, and go out again. Let's follow the shepherd, because this is exactly what Jesus did. He was out. He was out all the time, mixing with all sorts of people. Let's follow him unconditionally. Even when it looks unfair, terrible, painful, confusing, awful, carry on trusting. He's never wrong. Let's follow him personally. He wants a relationship. He wants a friendship. Let's follow him as a new generation of people, a new society impacting the world. You know, our world is falling apart. Turn on the TV and you know it. Our world is falling apart, but there is hope. There is a Savior. He can begin the healing now. The healing effect can start now and will be completed later. So come on, my fellowship. Be blessed. Enjoy the warmth of His presence, the breeze of His Spirit, the juicy pastures that comes from His Word, the security we have in His love. And let's give ourselves away to others. Remember, what did the sheep say to the other sheep? After you. God bless you.